The views and opinions expressed by A Little Bit Culty are those of the hosts and do not necessarily reflect the official policy or position of the podcast. Any content provided by our guests, bloggers, sponsors, or authors are of their opinion and are not intended to malign any religion, group, club, organization, business individual, anyone, or anything. Hey, everybody. I'm Sarah Edmondson.
And I'm Anthony Ames, a.k.a. Nippy.
And we just want to welcome you to season three of A Little Bit Culty. Once upon a time, we were in a cult called Nexium.
We didn't know it was a cult when we joined, because as a wise man once said, nobody joins a cult. They join a good thing.
For a minute, it was a good thing. That's where we met, fell in love, got married, started a family.
The stuff of storybooks.
Even the part where we woke up, escaped, became whistleblowers, and helped bring it all down? You call that shit show a storybook?
Seeing the mastermind of Nexium get sentenced to 120 years in prison? That's a storybook ending, if you ask me.
The whole thing was captured on HBO's hit docuseries, The Vow.
A new season is coming out any moment, if it isn't out already by the time you hear this.
And I published a memoir called Scarred, which is available anywhere books are sold.
And now we have a podcast.
Every week on A Little Bit Culty, we call on experts, advocates, fellow survivors, and whistleblowers to help us unpack what's going on in the cultiverse.
And now we're turning our story into wisdom for other people.
Like, I wish I'd known that calling yourself Vanguard was a bit of a red flag.
Yeah, big red flag. We've got a lot to cover. So let's get this show rolling, shall we?
Welcome to A Little Bit Culty, an Acast podcast about the fads, beliefs, and trends that blur the line between devotion and destruction. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss an episode. And to learn more, visit us on Instagram or alittlebitculty.com.
Sarah.
Are you dying?
The 1-9.
It got us.
It's hit our household.
Literally 2.5 weeks ago, we're like, maybe we're just not going to get it. Didn't I say I want to just get it over with? Because it's like looming over us for almost 2 years now.
Great timing. I lost 4 days of work.
Aw, boot.
We manifested the wrong time for me to get COVID, Sarah.
Well, at least it's not when we're in South by Southwest.
I'm forgiving you. It's Valentine's Day, evidently, when this thing airs, and I'm forgiving you.
Is that my present? Your forgiveness? Yeah.
For sickness and disease? I think it's a fair.
Listen, it was Troy who brought it into our house. So it's him that needs your forgiveness. It's not my fault.
How about, like, he kicks it in 48 hours, and I'm like, how you feeling? And he's like, fine. I was like, you're not feeling better? He's like, Dad, I've been fine.
I commend you. Nippy got into bed and didn't leave except to go to the bathroom for literally 3 days.
My capacity to sleep 14 straight hours is staggering to me.
I'm like resentful a little bit that you did that, but also
I was asleep while you were resentful.
Well, anyway, happy Valentine's.
You and my mom are the only two people who've gotten in a fight with me while I've been asleep.
Can you not compare me to your mother? It's just
fair enough. And my mom had a legitimate gripe.
What was her gripe?
I don't know. I was like 20, 21. And I came home at 4 a.m. drunk and fell asleep on the couch downstairs. And I literally smelled like a saloon, you know, and the whole downstairs smelled like me hungover. And I just remember going in out of sleep of her yelling at me. She's like, where have you been? God damn it. I was worried sick about you last night. And I was kind of asleep. An hour or two of her yelling at me. And finally,
that's
I
a
woke
great
up.
Story. That's a really good story, Nip. All Happy right. Valentine's Day.
Yeah, anyhow.
I want our audience to know that Nippy and I both have the brain fog that is very much a part of the COVID experience. So bear with us. By the time this episode airs, it will be Valentine's. And I'm sure I'll just be like surrounded in chocolate and flowers lingerie.
For sure.
Yeah. I was thinking we had a whole day in our 16-day training called Relationship Day.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
When we went through as students, at least my trainers were like, oh, just like anyone who had like relationship issues, the trainers said, well, just you wait till relationship day. Just
who
wait.
Don't have relationship issues.
Right. Well, I remember that day was like really, I remember feeling like nauseous and like really anxious about what was going to come to the surface. Basically, the point of the relationship module is that all relationships, according to Keith, were deficient or like dependency based. And there was always like one person stronger and one person weaker. So it's like weak, strong, strong, weak, or weak, weak. And the weak, weak relationship were two people who bonded in their suffering. And that was sort of like the, it's just us against the world. And then there was a line in it like, if you're afraid of the relationship ending, that's exactly why it needs to end. Remember?
I do remember that.
And then they talked about like the only kind of like good or proper or not deficiency-based love was like poetic love and love where it wasn't attachment-based, but like you'd hear their name in the wind and see it in nature, see their essence in nature. And it was like a higher evolved type of love or whatever. And anyway, I just remember thinking like, who's got that? And it was purported that, you know, Keith had these evolved relationships, but in fact, it was the opposite. Happy Valentine's.
Yeah.
Yeah. So here we were. That's the insanity of it. Here we were all feeling like, oh no, like my relationships are not evolved. I have to evolve on my relationships and they're not healthy. Meanwhile.
Did that really worry you though? Did you take all that to heart?
Oh, totally. I did.
I thought, yeah, okay, there's some areas that I can work, but you can work on. But I think getting to poetic love or whatever that was, I just thought that was just kind of like theoretical.
Well, it is, I guess, theoretical, but a lot of these groups and workshops or programs or organizations are preying on the fact that people want to have a healthy relationship. And in this case, what we're talking about today, it's...
That's the segue.
That's the segue.
There you go. You're getting good at these segues, sir.
Thanks. Only 28 episodes in.
Hey, whatever it takes.
Anyway, if you're listening, happy Valentine's. And we mean that for everyone. It doesn't matter if you're happily ensconced in a hot new romance, or if you're still looking for the one or ones, maybe you too are into polyamory, whatever floats your boat. Maybe you're a Samantha, not a Charlotte.
So happy Valentine's Day. Today's topic is love adjacent, tainted love, really, wouldn't you say, Sarah?
Yeah. But first things first, we're not labeling the organization at the heart of today's episode a cult. We're just asking. WTF is up with the next level horseshit that they're allegedly packaging and selling in the name of helping people find true love.
We're not convicting them, but we're just asking questions.
That said, holy fuck. After talking to our guest today, it sounds like Twin Flames Universe is next level.
What is Twin Flames Universe, aka TFU, you ask? Well, listen up. TFU is an online community founded by a couple from Michigan who claim that their costly online workshops and YouTube therapy sessions lead people to their so-called twin flame.
And in case you've not heard that term before, a twin flame is sort of like a soulmate, but on steroids.
For the bargain price of $2,222, you too can find the one with TFU. You just might have to transition to a new gender or engage in behavior just short of stalking. Allegedly, of course.
The founders of this alleged shit show casually refer to themselves as Father Christ and Mother Christ. And without giving away what we'll cover with our guest today, let's just tell you what these two litigious shitbirds dispute. They dispute that they promote harassment and stalking. They dispute that they engage in exploitative and cult-like practices. And they dispute that they coerce members into changing their gender. Yikes.
And they also dispute that they're not like Keith and the Vow. Keely Griffin is here to share experience loving and leaving the Twin Flames universe. She describes herself as the former CEO of the organization. She woke up and got out in June of 2021, and now she's talking.
She's blowing the whistle on this group that slithered out of the spiritual marketplace on YouTube in 2017. And honestly, after checking out some of their content, it definitely seems like TFU is what would happen if a social media influencer, a random roomy quote generator, and Marianne Williamson dropped acid and then had a baby.
We don't recommend you give them any views, but we've put some articles in the show notes. There is some in-depth reporting by Vanity Fair, Vice, and The Sun for you to take a safe look at.
Without further ado, let's get into it. So welcome.
Thank you.
Welcome to A Little Bit Culty.
Thank you.
Thank you for trusting us with your story. This is Nippy. Nippy Keeley.
Hello.
Nice to meet you.
Normally, like, when we do these episodes, we've listened to a bunch of podcasts about it and we've read a bunch of books. But since this is fairly new to be exposed,
there wasn't a lot on it.
There wasn't a ton, but also, you know, we know that Wondery is coming out with theirs, a more in-depth version. Mm-hmm. We just want to hear your story and whatever you feel comfortable sharing. How are you feeling, by the way? How are you feeling about doing this?
I'm really excited. I really love saying that I'm excited because I never got to say that when I was in the cult. And that was such like a bad feeling. Being excited was such a bad thing.
Why not?
According to Jeff and Shalia, excitement stems from fear, which fear is like the root of what they call separation consciousness or the ego.
Right. Actually, Nippy, that reminds me, in Nexium, if you were excited, it meant that you were about to get your attachment met.
Well, we did have a module that was excited state.
Well, that was part of the confusing thing, right?
Conflicting intel.
They wanted you to be excited when you were teaching, so you had to be up and like, hey, welcome to class. But they didn't want you to be excited about getting your attachment met because that meant you were driven by your deficiency. Anyway,
right.
We're here to talk about you.
No, yeah, there's so many similarities. I actually really appreciate like hearing your similarities or like the experiences that you've had that relate to mine because it's very validating.
Well, Keely, this may not come as a shock to you, but it's pretty consistent through all the modalities that we've been interviewing people about. Not a lot of mystery to it, which you start to see the consistencies of how they set up the abuse.
Why don't we just start with your story? We paint a little bit of a picture of your life before you met Jeff and Shalia. Am I saying that right?
It's Shalia.
Shalia.
Yes. She would get very upset if she heard you mispronouncing her name.
Sorry, Shalia.
I first encountered Jeff and Shalia on YouTube, which is where I went for things that like I had questions about that I couldn't really ask other people. I found myself asking things like, what is a spiritual awakening? Why is my life feeling like shit? What's going on? Like things like that. And on YouTube, I would come across all sorts of spiritual kind of new age psychics, spiritual healers, tarot readers, things like that. And eventually I got introduced to the concept of twin flames after I was looking up, like, is it possible to love two people at once? Like, can you have feelings for multiple people? Or what if you're not really happy or satisfied in your current relationship? Like, because I was feeling that way at the time. I was in a 5-year relationship and I was only a junior in college. I felt like I wanted to expand and do things with my life. I also wanted to travel, and that was something that my current partner didn't want to do. So I felt like there was this big rift in our relationship. Like we were both about to graduate. Just felt like, is there more to this relationship? I've been with this person since I was like 15. Like it's been a long time. So I found Twin Flames on YouTube, and that was the first time I was introduced. And Twin Flames talked about how there's a specific person that you have a spiritual connection with, someone that is here to teach you about yourself and to teach you about life. And I was like, wow, that's really interesting. I wonder if I've met my twin flame. And a few years went by and I didn't really do anything with it. I just kind of left those things aside and moved on. But later on, I was in a different relationship and this person ended up being pretty abusive, but I was pretty used to already gaslighting myself when it came to abuse. So I was trying to figure out what was causing the abuse. Maybe he's my twin flame. Maybe he's here to teach me something. So again, I got introduced to the concept of twin flames.
Quick question. When you said you got introduced, was your abusive partner at the time in Twin Flames universe or you just went back to the YouTube?
No.
No, but you explained the abuse away based on what you'd read about your twin flame exposing things that you need to, quote, work on. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, like I was trying to figure out why in that relationship I was feeling so bad, so unsatisfied. And because I had thought that this was maybe the relationship, but it wasn't. There were some pretty like gruesome things that happened in that relationship. Like I think that person that I was with may have some serious mental health issues. Like, for example, like he took a burning spatula off the stove and placed it on my thigh and also sprayed me with fire retardants, that kind of thing.
Oh my God.
So, yeah. I was already groomed for Twin Flames Universe. That's kind of what I'm learning now.
So those are the things that you feel like made you susceptible to this.
I'm so sorry.
I think everyone's susceptible to becoming a victim to something like this, but
totally,
absolutely,
totally.
I can see in my specific experience that there were so many similarities that I experienced in the cult, like compared to my previous life, like kind of what we were just talking about, how these abuses are going mm-hmm. on everywhere. It's not a new sure. thing. So I have taken time to kind of look back at my previous relationships and see, oh, wow, like, okay, I can see how I never actually resolved that. I never actually got the help I needed to validate that that was an unhealthy relationship. We probably both needed to go to therapy and not be in a relationship, that kind of thing. I didn't get that like awareness at the time. And so I was looking for that awareness. I was looking to find out like how to have a healthy relationship. What do I do? Like, what can I do in the relationship to make it better?
Got it.
I didn't see the red flags. I didn't know how serious the abuse was.
How did you get reconnected with Twin Flames?
Then I met somebody else who ended up being my true twin flame, according to Jeff and Julia. At this point, I was not in the community, but I met that person. And then we went through this whole like, kind of like almost like a blueprint twin flame relationship dynamic.
Had you paid money to take courses and stuff at this point?
Not yet. I hadn't even met Jeff and Shalia yet. So like it's a long wave of events, but basically I met another person and we had this relationship that was like a flame almost because it lit like a flame and then it fizzled out really quickly. And I hadn't had a relationship like that before. I didn't know anything about love bombing. I didn't know anything about toxic relationships like that. So I went back to YouTube. I went back to the internet. I learned more about twin flames. But it wasn't until the next year that I found Jeff and Shalia on YouTube. So I kind of took a whole year after I met who I thought was my true twin flame to kind of go back to that idea, this concept of twin flames. I didn't really believe it. I didn't really have enough evidence to know that it was true. So I was kind of just floating around the idea, doing a little research here and there, but nothing was really compelling me to go any further until March of 2018 when I saw Jeff and Shalia on YouTube.
What was that like?
At first, what I noticed is that they seemed very average. There was nothing like flashy or
just like normal.
They sounded like millennials that I probably would have been friends with or something in school. And I had a lot of similarities to Shalia because she was studying spirituality and really wanting to get in touch with her intuition and her inner guidance and personal growth. When I first met them or saw them, I didn't really think much of them. And I actually kind of passed them over a little bit.
And then what was the eventual hook? Like how did you decide to get involved? I know it's hard after everything you've gone through to remember, but like at the time there was something good that you thought would be like, oh yeah, I'm going to do this. Take us there.
Yeah.
So that our audience knows what these things look like.
Oh yeah. For me, what it was is that they talked about having a relationship with your higher self, your inner self. God is what they would also refer to it as, and more so the closer you got to them. But on the outside, to the outer public, they were really talking about like this inner connection to the divine. And I felt like when I had met the person that I thought maybe was my twin flame, I felt in that time, like I felt really connected to that part of me. I felt really carefree. I felt happy. I felt connected to the world around me and I wanted that same kind of feeling again. And so I thought maybe this is it. Like maybe I should, like I haven't heard any other twin flame teachers talk about this other connection, this like connection to God or connection to the divine. I've only heard people talk about like, I just want my man. I just want my woman. And it was very like superficial or surface level. And I felt like I wanted this deeper meaning in my relationships. So that was what hooked me. It did. It hooked me. I think that exact day I went and was like, I'm going to sign up for this. Like, this is interesting. Like, these people are talking about life purpose. They're talking about relationships. They're talking about spirituality. They're talking about all of these things that I'm interested in. And then I went into the group. So I didn't sign up that day, actually. I went into the Facebook group that day and just wanted to check it out and see what it was like. As soon as I was in there, I got tagged in a post and immediately was welcomed by several, like 30 members commenting on my post and hundreds of people liking the post and saying, welcome, we're so happy you're here. Welcome. And Jeff even, I think he said, welcome home. And wow. Yeah, I was like, wow, this is a lot of love and attention and appreciation, stuff that I haven't really received much. This feels really nice. So that was a big, big hook as well. That like immediate sense of community that I was also unknowingly looking for, but I did want that. And then there were people saying, you know, like you can buy the book, and they were already starting to sell me on the products. I was like, oh, it's only $17.99. I can probably afford that. I'll get the book. Like, then I'll know more, and then I'll decide whether I want to buy the classes. I read the book in like a day.
How's the book?
I think at the time I thought they're so like authentic or real or just kind of blunt and honest about things that happened. Mm-hmm. In reality, the book is pretty toxic. It's actually kind of like the Bible for toxic relationships. So,
you know, when I was researching this and also listening to the official Twin Flames podcast, it's so unfortunate because there's probably some beautiful spiritual truths mixed in.
Yes.
Right? Like certain concepts that like, at first I was like, yeah, this is that works. That's in line for me, you know? And then it takes a turn, which we'll get to in a minute. But I really want to show people what this stuff looks like, because it is really dangerous when you're like, you know, looking for love is a very, very normal thing, you know, and it's a very human thing to want to find. This is twin flames. Finding your ultimate lover. I have to do it in the accent. Twin flames, finding your ultimate lover, right? That's how the podcast goes.
Yes, that is a very good impression.
Welcome to the Twin Flames podcast. If you haven't bought the book already, what are you waiting for? You're here now. Go to Amazon right away and buy the book. What if there was a person who was created just for you and only you? What if there was someone out there who could satisfy all your needs, wants, and desires as your perfect partner? Would you call this person the one? We call them your twin flame. And this book will show you how to find, identify, and keep this person in your life for life. Your twin flame was designed for you as your ultimate lover. Buy now for only $17.99. Sorry, I had to do it. How was it? How'd I do?
Bravo.
But anyway, my point is that like, if you're looking for love and you read that, like that, you know, that sounds great.
When I listened to the first little clip we listened to earlier, in order to get you hooked, they have to lambast the traditional ways people meet each other and make it bad, and then offer a nebulous spiritual path that doesn't really have any real quantifications of how it works. And it's predicated on you not understanding it and them understanding it. And you're pursuing their understanding, which is never really something you're going to obtain. That's the gist of what I got.
Yeah, exactly. Harmonious union is what they claim to have the blueprint of, that they created this, right. this relationship blueprint that's perfect in every way. And they're the creators of it. So nobody else has it, only them. It's the only way to perfect ascension, like total enlightenment.
Yeah.
Do you know that we had a training in NXIVM called Ascension?
No.
For only $7,500 or $6,000 if you signed up within 48 hours and got the 48-hour discount.
What a steal.
An 8-day training called Ascension. Okay, so go back to things are great. You're part of the community. They're all love bombing you. They're like, welcome home. Welcome home to your true community, Keely. So glad you found us. Buy the book, $17.99. Okay, then what happened?
So then I actually started kind of doing my due diligence in a way. I started looking at other people's posts. I started reading the comments, just kind of getting a feel of the group. And I would see these comments from other people in the group saying, hey, you should buy the book. Hey, you should buy these classes. These classes are amazing. They've helped me. And then I started seeing other people's posts saying, oh my God, I am having so much success in my life. My relationship with my twin flame is improving. All of a sudden, now he's talking to me. We're going on a date tomorrow. Like, it was just all of these people saying that they were having successes. Some people were also struggling and they were receiving help or reassurance. It was like a big community of people helping each other and also just being real and authentic, or at least, you know, as open and as authentic as they could be.
We tell our stories. We change the world. A Little Bit Culty is proud to support the hashtag I Got Out project, which empowers survivors of cultic abuse to share their stories online as a catalyst for education, prevention, and healing. Learn more about the hashtag I Got Out movement and find resources at igotout.org. Did anyone learn a language in high school and then let it go and then have regrets about that later? If you're anything like me, then maybe you'll relate. I did French all the way up into 12th grade and then I let it go. I mean, I lived in Montreal for a few years and, you know, practiced a bit, but it just slipped away. And then I found Babbel. Babbel is the language learning app that sold more than 10 million subscriptions. And thanks to Babbel's addictively fun and easy little bite-sized language lessons, I've been able to get back my French. I've actually found learning French to be fun again. And c'est vrai, je parle français. With Babbel, you only need 10 minutes to complete a lesson, so you can start having real-life conversations in a new language in as little as 3 weeks. Other language learning apps use AI for their lesson plans, but Babbel lessons were created by over 150 language experts and voiced by real native speakers, not computers. Their teaching method has been scientifically proven to be effective. And with Babbel, you can choose from 14 different languages, including Spanish, French, Italian, and German. Formidable. That means wonderful in French. Plus, Babbel's speech recognition technology helps you to improve your pronunciation and accent. Clearly still working on that. There are so many ways to learn with Babbel. In addition to lessons, you can access podcasts, games, videos, stories, and even live classes. Plus, it comes with a 20-day money-back guarantee. Start your new language learning journey today with Babbel. Right now, when you purchase a 3-month Babbel subscription, you'll get an additional 3 months for free. That's 6 months for the price of 3. Just go to babbel.com and use promo code CULTY. That's BABBEL.com, code CULTY. Our team at A Little Bit Culty Podcasts loves the Blood Ties podcast because it is gritty and current and fascinating. It's also a little bit culty. Blood Ties, the award-winning audio drama from Wondery, returns for its third season, Strange Days, with another thrilling story about greed, power, and deception. 5 years have passed since Eleanor, played by Julian Jacobs of Community, took over as CEO of the infamous Richland family empire, alongside her half-brother, Santino, played by Christian Navarro of 13 Reasons Why. Together, they decide to invest the family fortune in a groundbreaking, controversial new drug. But as shocking revelations about the new treatment emerge, Eleanor and Santino go to every length to protect their control of the Richland family dynasty. As Eleanor's father always said, medicine is a bloody business. Listen to Blood Ties, Season 3, Strange Days, on Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, Spotify, or you can binge the whole series now, early and ad-free, by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app. Before we get into like all the abuse and the shitty stuff, paint the picture of what was good. Like, what did you like about it? Did you take the $2,222 training to find your twin flame?
I jumped in with both the Life Purpose class and the Twin Flame Ascension School. And here's why. I, first of all, actually didn't even want to sign up for the Twin Flame Ascension School. My goal from the start was just to sign up for Life Purpose class because I really wanted to figure out what I was going to do with my career. I was kind of like struggling with that. I wasn't happy with my degree. I have a business degree. Didn't want to do anything with that. And so I was trying to figure out what I could offer to the world and what I could have as a career. So I was going to sign up just for that. But then I saw Jeff in the group talking somebody out of doing that exact thing that I was just about to do. And I read the comments and I'm like, oh, wow, that's okay. Yeah, if they're both the same thing, like they say that your life purpose path is the same as your twin flame path. They're like parallels. So as you work on your life purpose, you're also working on your relationship with your twin flame. They go hand in hand.
Of course. Of course. And these classes are all online?
Yes.
Is this community all online? Like, do you ever meet Jeff and Shayla?
I did meet them. Yes.
Shayla?
It is not all online. There is a community that is starting up in the Traverse, Michigan area. So it started through the boot camp program, it's called the Spiritual Boot Camp Program, where Jeff and Shalia would pick a person, a student, or two students, or four students to live in their mansion in Michigan and to do all of their chores.
And wait on them.
Right? Yes, yeah. Cook all their food, do everything they'd want all hours of the day. But now those people are living in their own place next to Jeff and Shalia. And there's another couple that is also moving and building a house out there as well. So
this is called the Minions program?
this is called...
So the master slave program?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, Jeff does call himself the Master Christ. I don't know if you saw that, but
yeah,
Father Christ or Master Christ?
Ooh.
I mean, I could handle Father Christ.
It's Master Christ.
Master Christ?
Yeah.
How many people are in this community, roughly? Do you know?
Well, on Facebook, it says there are 30,000 people in their open forum. But
wow. As
you go up the line, it gets, you know, smaller and smaller, as you know, but in their like volunteer group, they have a group of volunteers that's probably averaging around 100 something, 200 something people that work for them for free. Of course, they have their inner circle and, you know, all that stuff.
How high up did you get?
I got up to the inner circle. I was on the board of directors for the Church of Union, their religion, their church.
Wow.
Yeah.
What did that job entail?
Not a whole lot, actually. I was kind of confused why I was there at first. Not really sure what's going on here, but it mostly entailed all of us meeting together and talking about the different companies that Jeff owns and figuring out how to run those companies for Jeff.
Wow.
For free.
And yep. So you don't get any compensation for running their companies?
No.
Did you get a discount on programs?
We pay.
Oh, you pay to be in it?
Yes. Coaches, they have a coaching program, have to pay $100 a month to coach. And then they also have to tithe 10% of their income before taxes. And they have to also give 50% of their income to Twin Flames Universe. So 50% of their hourly wage goes to Twin Flames Universe.
Wow.
And then there's a volunteer center that does all the other work for free, like all the advertising, all the marketing, all the videos, all the fancy, flashy things that they do.
Did anyone contest this?
Oh, yes. Lots of people have, and they get ostracized for it. They get kicked out. They get shamed, bullied, made fun of. Yeah.
So when you decide to become a coach, did they lay it all out for you? Like, you're going to pay to learn to do this. And then once you start making money, then you're going to pay 50% back into the company. Did they tell you that?
No, actually.
Or did you find out after you became a coach?
After.
Motherfuckers.
Yes, we found out all of these things over a span of time. You know, they would like change this thing and then make this thing harder. Like, it sounds so much like NXIVM. It's crazy. Like, the stripe system.
Yeah, it's...
Yeah, like there's a master certified ascension coach versus just a certified ascension coach versus grandmaster and all these weird other titles. Yeah.
I think Jeff stole from Keith.
I think he did too.
I think Jeff.
It's too similar.
Like Keith stole from everybody else, and now Jeff's like, that guy's in jail. I'm going to take his
structure.
And
he grew his hair out. He grew his hair out.
Yes, right? He grew his hair out. Well, guess what? Yeah. Jeff actually told us to research NXIVM while we were on the board of directors and watch The Vow and Seduced and read an essay afterwards talking about why Jeff isn't a cult leader. Yeah.
No way.
Yes. Way.
He got scared. Awesome.
Yes.
He tried to get ahead of it.
News of my
he
day.
Tried to get ahead of it.
Mm-hmm. Do you have your essay? Could you read us parts of it? I'd love to hear.
I'm sorry. I don't have it yet.
Well, you should send this podcast to everyone in there.
Already had it on my notes, on my to-do list.
Good.
So Jeff proactively has people watch The Vow and says, write an essay as to why we're not like that guy.
Yep. And simultaneously telling us that he is almost exactly like Keith and that he's studied NLP and that MAP, mind alignment process, is exactly like EMs. He said all of this point blank straight to my face in a meeting.
All right.
He's recognizing the bad of Keith and trying to say he's not the bad, but he's the good. Mm-hmm. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yes.
Do you think he's, in your opinion, a sociopath like Keith, or is he a megalomaniac, but not a sociopath?
I think he is a sociopath, a narcissistic sociopath with megalomaniac something, because he's very interested in attention and being famous.
Is he after money, power, and sex?
Yes. All of the above.
Okay. Well, then there you go.
Yeah.
No, I mean, it's ultimately what it comes down to. All these things are some dude who can't get things the traditional way through merit coming up with scams to do it. And it never ends well.
Wait, so is he having sex with women other than Shahalaha?
Does he have a quadruple flame?
Ooh, well, actually, the Holy Trinity. He believes that he, Shelia, and their daughter make up this thing called the Holy Trinity. Like, it's they're a very super rare twin flame couple or thruple, except the daughter is supposed to be celibate and never have a sexual partner and is going to be a girl.
How old is their daughter?
They don't have one yet. They've gone through IVF. They picked the sex and they've tried to implant the fertilized egg multiple times, but they have not gotten pregnant. Thank God.
Seriously, for the sake of that child.
Yeah.
So you join the community. You rise in the ranks pretty fast, it sounds like.
I rose in the ranks fast because I was having a lot of success on my twin flame journey, meaning my supposed twin flame was talking to me and we were rekindling our connection.
Okay.
So yeah, that was a big factor in the reason why Jeff and Shelly chose me to coach some of their students. Mm-hmm. And so I was like thrown into coaching like really fast. Then I started to do volunteer work. I started in their sales and marketing. And then I rose to like communications. I went to school for marketing. So I was just encouraged to use my skills for their gain.
Of course. Of course you were, and not get paid because it's volunteer hours, because you're learning so much. And what a gift. What a gift.
And paying off karma.
Right.
We were told that the more we volunteer, the more karma we pay off from all of our previous lives of choosing separation from our twin flame.
Oh my God.
How lucky for you to be able to pay off your karma.
I know.
So quickly.
The grass let you through an unmeasurable past life.
Exactly. Yes. You spend your entire life trying to figure out what you did in a previous lifetime to cause all of the abuse and suffering and separation in your life now and with your supposed twin flame.
Oh, man.
When things were good, and I know it's hard to remember this, but when things were good, was there a time when you found tools like I listened to their podcast, The Mirror Exercise? Was that something that you used often?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Right away, yeah. I was told, do the mirror exercise, do it every day, write it down, start it up. And I did. And I used it to what I thought were good things. Some of it was, some of it like it just kind of depended on what the upset was that you were supposed what you were to working. Hear.
I was going to say that.
Yeah.
I was going to say that. And I want you to know when I listened to it, and for those who are listening who are ex Nexium members, it's kind of like a combination. We had something called master teacher exercise where you take something that you're upset with and you ask yourself a number of questions and then you realize how the person is just showing you part of yourself that you don't like about yourself. And that's like what a gift that the person showed you this thing because now you can evolve it. And another exercise that we did from Mobius where you like take that thing and like imbue it with the innocence of, you know, just a little kid who really just wants to be loved and how normal that is and blah, 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 blah. So it's like the mirror exercise is a combination of a couple of other exercises, which by the way, exist in many other places. Jeff and Shahala did not.
It's in a movie.
It's in the movie. It's like in Buddhism. Tara Brach wrote a great book called Radical Acceptance. And there's some exercises in there that are just like it. The reason I want you to, if you don't mind explaining the steps real quick, and then I want to explain how it can be good, but also how it can be used to gaslight.
Yes. So step one is first state the upset. What are you feeling upset about?
Well, should we do it? Should we do it right now?
If you want. Yes. What are you? Are you upset, Sarah?
let's practice it. Like, I am upset. Let's do something. What could be something that people would relate to? That Nippy didn't buy me flowers. How about that? Just kidding. This is Valentine's episode. I'm guessing it's Valentine's by the time this airs, and Nippy has not bought me flowers because he loves the internet. What?
They're in the mail.
He already bought
them. They're in the mail.
Okay, let's just pretend because I'm sure everyone can relate to that. Something like that. Okay, Nippy didn't buy me flowers. Okay, go. Next question.
So you've stated the upset. So then you're going to turn all of the nouns into pronouns. So you have to turn it back to you. So you would say,
I didn't buy myself flowers.
Yes.
Oh God, I feel where this is going. And then I say what? I don't love myself.
And then the third step is that true? Like, is there a place inside of you that's upset about, you know, not giving yourself this gift?
Yes. I don't take care of myself and lavish myself as the divine being that I am.
Very good. So then how's the that? Fourth step
Thank
is
you.
This is the last step and the most important yeah. step, according to them, which is you have to give yourself love in that place. You want to ask that part of you what it needs to feel loved.
Just need some extra love and attention and self-care and maybe even some flowers for myself that I can do it for myself.
Exactly. You don't need anyone else. God is your source and God is within you, and you don't need anyone else, any love or affection or acceptance or support outside of you ever.
I am self-reliant. I am a whole and complete. I don't need anything.
And now you're healed.
Well done. Well done. I feel so healed. I don't need flowers. It's Valentine's Day. We're going to save a lot of money, babe.
But now you have to pay me $200. Right.
I'll Venmo you okay. after this episode.
I'll send you flowers.
Let's just like talk about this for a second, because I think it's important to note that like if you did that, I mean, I was half joking, or I mean, all the way joking, really. But like if I did that for real, there's an element of that that is good, I think, you mm-hmm. know, to like not project upset on somebody else and to own your expectations and to always be looking to heal a part of yourself that feels unloved. Like that sounds nice
yeah, totally.
And good, mm-hmm. right? So where does it go bad? And how is that same very beautiful spiritual exercise used to headfuck you?
Well, it goes bad when you actually start experiencing abuse and other toxic qualities that may pop up in an unhealthy relationship. And so you start to tell yourself, oh, where am I abusing myself? Because Jeff and Shalia teach that you and your divine counterpart, your twin flame, but also the world, the people in your life, your relationships are a mirror to you. So you create your own reality and you also choose everything in your reality. So if you're experiencing abuse, it's just something that needs to be healed through the mirror exercise. If you're experiencing things that are unjust, unfair, you're being marginalized, well, just do the mirror exercise and heal that within yourself. And then the outside will change. You can't change the outside. You have to change
Fuck
the inside
that.
First.
Sorry. I have to say it right now. Fuck that shit. If anyone's listening who's a Twin Flames Universe member, get the fuck out. That's bullshit. Okay. It pisses me off. Okay. Nippy, you want to add anything to that?
No, I think you got it.
It's just such a load of shit.
It allows abuse. It's gaslighting.
It's gaslighting. And then you're training yourself to do it. And they also teach abuse isn't real. So you're also programmed to not only like gaslight yourself when you're being abused, but like literally just, it's not real. It doesn't even exist. Right. So it's like this super intense form of gaslighting.
Huh. Yeah. Our equivalent of that was that any upset in your life, any upset was something that you participated in some way. You caused it, you authored it, you created it, you wanted it, you chose it. Those are the different terms. Authored it was the main one that came out at the end. Like, oh, how did you author that? Fuck you. Look, that's why, like, I want to be really clear. Like the question that Nippy asked at the beginning, like the abuse that you had before, when he asked, like, that made you susceptible. It's not saying you caused it because you chose that before. It's just because you hadn't healed that yet. You didn't see the signs in this.
Exactly.
Right? Does it make it your fault?
To be clear, my question was because she was looking to understand why.
Mm-hmm. Versus getting out.
Yeah.
Which is a healthy pursuit. To understand yourself is a healthy pursuit, but that makes you susceptible to things that might not be the best things as a solution. Which is why there's therapy, which is why there's things, there's standards and practices out there, therapy and degrees. You know, you can still get a psychologist like we saw in that show.
Shrink Next Door.
There can be a shrink who can be abusive, but traditionally the practices don't do that. When everything goes outside that realm and makes it your fault, that's not real therapy.
No. And this is the problem that I have with all of these spiritual groups is that if you sort of agree to certain tenets, like with Nexium, they called it being at cause, you know, that you choose, you can always choose your everything in your life. You can choose differently. You can choose your emotions. You can choose your circumstances, choose how you feel about things. There's a certain truth in that. Like if there's a certain potency to recognize that I can cause things in my life and I can choose differently and I don't have to suffer about things. I can look at things a different way. That's great. But when somebody is abusing you or hurting you in some way, there's no room to voice that.
Yeah, that modality goes out the window.
So you join in 2018 and you get to the high ranks pretty quickly. Before we get to your exit, what were some of the things now that you know what you know about cults and high demand groups that were red flags along the way that you missed? Like what were some of the things, the telltale signs?
Yeah, well, a lot of what I thought was like just kind of like friendly nudging was actually scarcity selling. Like they were like constantly trying to sell things, constantly like saying, oh, we're having a sale. We're going to raise the prices. So you better buy quick. Stuff like that. There was just this huge emphasis on trying to sell stuff for Jeff and Shalia working for free. That is a huge red flag. If someone really cares about you and they're saying that they love you and they care about you, then they're going to want to see you thriving and healthy and having a livable wage.
Great point.
There's so many red flags, but the problem with cults is that they try to like lessen those red flags to the outside, to the public. They say things in their open form that they do not preach or follow or stand by at all behind closed doors. And they actually do the exact opposite.
Like what's one thing that they preach?
Just today, Shalia posted a post saying that divorce is okay, which blew my mind, first of all, because I spent years and years being told that divorce is not an option with your twin flame. That's like spiritual suicide. You do not divorce your twin flame. So to hear that all of a sudden was shocking. But then I remembered, wait, anytime there's any sort of like issue with them in the public, they always put something out there to try to lessen the storm a little bit that they perceive is coming, or the storm has already happened and they're trying to backtrack a little bit. But behind closed doors, and even in their open form, you can see the coaches saying, why would you give up on your twin flame? Don't give up on your journey. You can't leave your twin flame. That's choosing separation. Oh, you're so attached to separation, right? So there's all this like predatory behavior from their coaches with these people in the open form like when these people are telling their stories, like, hey, my twin flame never wants to talk to me. Like, oh, it's just your fault. You just got to heal it. Don't give up. Don't give up on your twin flame. Keep pursuing them or something.
When you join this program and your goal is to help find the twin flame, are they providing the twin flame for you? Is that part of it? Like they say, this is your match and they like go through, is it like match.com and they're, you know, presenting?
That is how it is, actually. That's not how they advertise it to the public. They advertise it that you will find your twin flame on this journey. The more you do the work, the closer your twin flame will come to you. Like, and so they kind of use that to groom their followers into accepting these new matches. Their new twin flame actually is now in the community because you did so much inner work. They just were so attracted to you. Now they're in the community and that's actually your true twin flame, not the person that you thought was your twin flame when you first joined. Now it's actually this person. Okay. But they don't say like we give out twin flames, but they do. They channeled everybody's twin flame.
Do some people come to twin flames already with somebody and they're there to work on their relationship, or is everyone coming single and finding their partner?
Yeah, some people come in with their twin flame, but it's very rare that they stay. Usually what happens is someone comes in saying, hey, this is my twin flame. We're in harmony sooner. We're, you know, in union. And Jeff and Shalia usually immediately say, you're not in harmonious union because you haven't done it through our path. And usually that deters the couple from wanting to go further. But there are some couples that have, I think there's like one that's still there that came in together. Most of the people though have had their twin flames channeled by Jeff and Shalia.
What is that? Have you seen them channeling? Like, are they like meditating and they're like, I know, you need to date Bob.
I've never seen them channel like that. And the even idea that someone thinks that they can channel who your life partner is supposed to be is just
red flag.
Huge red flag. They force these people to be with these twin flames that they've channeled. Not only that, but they also force sometimes the person that they deem to actually be the divine masculine, they force them, if they were born a girl, they force them to then transition into a man.
I was going to ask you about that.
Yes.
We've read a couple of those accounts.
Yes.
So when you say force them, like they say you're actually a man, even though you're born cis woman, right?
Yeah.
Like in this case, because is it because there's not enough men in the community? So they need
that
to like...
That is a very valid theory. And in my opinion, I think that's what happened. I think that Jeff thought, oh my gosh, no one's actually like, there's not a lot of people who are in harmonious union
it's not working.
It's not working. We should just make it up so I can keep making money because the classes are done and I need more money. So after realizing that Jeff and Shalia were not only appropriating, but twisting Paramahansa Yogananda's body of work for their own gain and to hurt and harm their members, to control them, that was a big red flag for me. And soon after that, I remember going to Stephen Hassan's website because I remember him in The Vow and I knew that he was a cult expert and that he had created this model to help cult survivors, friends, families identify if an organization is a cult or not. So I went through every single point, 99.9% match with TFU, with Twin Flames Universe. So at that point, it was really clear to me and to the people that I was with that it was time to make an exit plan and get the hell out.
Hey there. Hope you're enjoying the episode. Quick reminder to follow us on Instagram. You can also share your favorite episodes with friends who may or may not be in a cult, and also reach out to us to let us know who you would love to hear as a guest. And now, a word from our sponsors. Our team at A Little Bit Culty Podcasts loves the Blood Ties podcast because it is gritty and current and fascinating. It's also a little bit culty. Blood Ties, the award-winning audio drama from Wondery, returns for its third season, Strange Days, with another thrilling story about greed, power, and deception. 5 years have passed since Eleanor, played by Julian Jacobs of Community, took over as CEO of the infamous Richland family empire, alongside her half-brother, Santino, played by Christian Navarro of 13 Reasons Why. Together, they decide to invest the family fortune in a groundbreaking, controversial new drug. But as shocking revelations about the new treatment emerge, Eleanor and Santino go to every length to protect their control of the Richland family dynasty. As Eleanor's father always said, medicine is a bloody business. Listen to Blood Ties, Season 3, Strange Days, on Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, Spotify, or you can binge the whole series now, early and ad-free, by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app. Okay, so Keely, you've spent some time with the organization and you've had a lot of red flags over the time there, but what was the ultimate thing that caused you to see the truth?
Well, it's hard to say that if there was just one thing, because for me, it took me like 6 months of like deprogramming to be able to even get out.
Right.
And even then, when I was getting out, I still felt like, am I doing the right thing? And I actually put the vow on and just binge watch that for that whole entire night that I was leaving, because I'm like, okay, I just have to like remember what's going on. And like the vow is such a good reminder for me to keep doing what I was doing, meaning leaving. Things started to come forward to me in November, December, when the Vanity Fair articles came out. And that's when Jeff was starting to get really paranoid. He was revealing that a lot more to me and the board of directors specifically. And that's when he told us to watch the vow. He told us to do our research and come up with this essay that we were going to publish, Why Jeff is Not a Cult Leader. But we never finished the essay because we couldn't come to that conclusion. And it actually caused a lot of conflict on the board.
And what was the internal response to an article like the Vanity Fair? Because I read that and that was pretty damning. Does he just shrug it off and say it's all lies? Did he like the publicity? What was the response?
Yeah, he always wanted to make it an us versus them type of situation. So he would always paint the people who were against us like they didn't understand his work, almost like they weren't as evolved as he was, right? Like it was a very elitist type of mentality. So that's what he would say. But he would also say that these people are trying to destroy your lives. They're trying to take your whole livelihood away from you. They're trying to basically kill you. Like it got to that extreme amount of like us versus them. And so it was really scary. That's how I felt. I felt really scared. Like I felt like I was in a war zone. And it's almost like I didn't realize I was in a war zone until it was like right there in front of me. I was triggered and afraid that I was going to lose, you know, my family, my husband at the time, and my job, my friends, everything. And that's what they really played up. But then they twisted that around on me and said, well, you're afraid of losing those things because you think that we're cult leaders. I'm like, okay. So it was like this gaslighting thing going on.
Right.
And then I was also accused of that multiple times, that I thought I was in a cult. And that was Jeff's way, I think, of trying to make sure I didn't think he was a cult leader.
Well, the tactics are very similar, Sarah, right? They lay out the objections beforehand and then you start to have them. But then you say to yourself, oh, this is exactly what he said was going to happen. So you start to doubt it.
Yes. Yes.
Right. So
I think
that's the reason he's saying, watch the vow.
Oh my gosh. That makes so much sense.
Well, this is typical in all the things that we've done. The objections you have mean you're doing it right a lot of times too, according to them.
Yeah.
Like if you think that we're a cult, it means that you're really digging into your true path.
Or it means that you're buying their narrative and you're letting them destroy your life.
Exactly. Like they tried to do the healing thing, like let's all heal around cults and stuff. But that was when the Vice articles came out. When the Vanity Fair articles came out, it was more of like, they're trying to destroy you.
Yeah.
It took a turn for sure. And that kind of intensity in my life was amplifying all of the other stuff that was going on in my relationship with my twin flame, which wasn't healthy. There was absolutely domestic violence going on in my relationship, not just my relationship, in almost all of the couples I coached. And that was another thing I started realizing, why is everybody having these violent issues going on in their relationships? Like this is wrong. Something's definitely off. And Jeff and Shalia knew about this, and they would brush it under the rug, or they would shame that person and say that they chose it. It's their fault. They're a horrible person. They're sick in the mind. They would use those words all the time. So that was a big wake-up call for me. And then the mood and energy of the relationship, like when these things started popping up, Jeff and Shalia changed their narrative of the twin flame relationship from being this amazing, perfect, loving, caring, kind, spiritual, deep connection to it's hard, it's a pain in the ass, it's going to test you, it's going to break you down.
Right.
And then what Nebby was saying, like he was like prepping us, like grooming us for that. Like it's just going to continue getting worse because they've paired us with these people that we don't even want to be with these people. I mean, I was in a different situation. Jeff and Julie didn't, you know, like say you have to be like, this is your twin flame, like for sure. Right from the beginning, I thought he was already my twin flame. And then they confirmed that. And then you know, kept encouraging that we stay together. But most of the other people are literally like, they never thought that person was their twin flame. They're living with these people. They're married to these people. They're going to have babies with these people that they never had an interest with until Jeff and Shalia told them, this is your twin flame. And then the other thing I started noticing is that the people who were transitioning, even after all of the mirror exercises, even after all of the healing that they did, they still didn't want to transition. The channeled messages that they received weren't really gifts at all. That was how they advertised it. That was this big honor, this big gift to receive this channeled message from Jeff and Shalia. But these people weren't happy. And I, by the end of it, once I started becoming more conscious, told them not to transition. And I knew that if they found out, if Jeff and Shalia or any of the leaders found out that I told them that, I'd be kicked out. If any coach does not adhere to what Jeff and Shalia want, they will be removed immediately. So there's no choice. No one actually has a choice. Mm-hmm. It's like you either do it.
Bounded choice.
Yeah, exactly. Or you do it.
For those who don't know, bounded choice from Yanya Lalich, and you mentioned that earlier in our podcast, is it's either you do it or you don't do it, which means you lose everything.
Yeah.
So it's the illusion of choice. And it's very important to understand when people are like, why don't you just leave? Or like, why don't you just walk away? Or, you know, say no. Like, it doesn't work like that.
And Jeff and Shalia even say that. They're like, oh, you can leave anytime. You always have a choice.
Right.
Right. But it's not the reality.
Same with NXIVM. You can leave and then we'll sue you.
Exactly. We'll bully you, abuse you, ostracize you, take away your money. Yeah. Have fun with that. Things started getting even weirder, especially towards the end. When I say the end, I mean the end of like me leaving. They had these private classes that no one was allowed to record, or like they're very private, but they were super expensive. I think I was paying $500 a month to attend four classes with 25 other people. And in these classes, Jeff and Shalia started talking about the apocalypse and how there's an apocalypse coming. And how basically all of the people that have harmed them or do not want to be on the twin flame ascension path that Jeff and Shalia created will be stuck in hell forever. And this split is coming. This big event, this weird apocalyptic event is coming. And you better get yourself together. I and my ex were pretty like already weirded out. Like stuff was really starting to come clear to us. We also were shot at this time.
Unrelated to the cult?
Unrelated to the cult. I mean, I hope. Who knows? The city that we lived in was the gun violence was skyrocketing at the time, especially. So we got shot at by some, we think, gang-related thing. And we kind of got caught in the middle of it. But this event happened alongside the whole like apocalypse thing. And Jeff and Shalia used us as an example to the class to say that after we got shot at, that we were living in hell, that we were in purgatory, that we were suffering, and that it was because of our karma that we manifested this horrible event getting shot at.
Ugh.
It was just like one thing after the next, like it just kind of started building. And I think Yanya Lalich talks about like the dam breaking, right? Like eventually just all
the shelf breaking.
Yeah. it just all comes crashing down and you start to really like see, okay, this is not healthy. But yeah, there were so many things that were happening. I talked to someone right like days before I left that I hadn't talked to in over a year. And this person still missed their family. This person was told not to talk to their family, not to have any contact with them. And they came from such a close-knit family. Even a year later, after all the mirror exercises, after all the healing they've done, they still miss their family. So that was a really big red flag for me too, like seeing how unhappy everybody really was, even after all the healing they did, after all the work they did, you know?
That's a good awareness.
Yeah, it sounds pretty consistent too with everything else.
Yeah.
And then when did you decide to leave in the night?
So shortly after the whole apocalyptic thing and everything started to come forward, the last thing that I really needed was to see that Jeff and Shalia weren't telling the truth. Like they were lying blatantly. And that was when I saw Yogananda's definition of a guru and how the guru must be enlightened first, must be in a perfect union in order to even be a guru in the first place. Jeff and Shalia said multiple times they're not in perfect union and therefore they have no business entering anyone's psyches or playing with anyone's karma or doing anything spiritual like that. That was a big wake-up call for me because I was really there for like the spiritual history and the spiritual practices. So that night we decided to leave, but do it in a way where we could hopefully get other people out and also take as much evidence of the abuse as possible to expose them. We did end up talking to a few people, but unfortunately the first person we talked to blew our cover. And then they posted our numbers, our phone numbers in the group and said, you know, delete or block these numbers. Don't answer the phone. So unfortunately, our little calling project ended kind of quickly, but we still ended up talking to quite a few. And I think like 6 or 7 people left altogether.
That's great.
Yeah, that's great. Good for you. We're so proud of you. And, you know, soon as we read about this group, we were like, oh, man, it's all there. All the template is there. And I'm really sorry that this happened to you. And good for you for getting out when you did and bringing people with you.
Yeah, well, I'm very grateful to be here and to have the opportunity to share my story, even though it is hard to talk about at times. But I also have very good, badass role models to look after. So thank you guys for having me and also validating my experiences as well.
Keely, thank you very much.
Amazing. Well, thank you for your time, your openness, and your bravery.
The story's not done.
Imagine yourself walking into a forest. You can see the path and the trees high above you. The air is crisp. You are walking towards your happy place. Allegedly, say it with me. Anything said here on this podcast about alleged cults, alleged MLM schemes, alleged douchebaggery, mindfuckery, criminality, spiritual fraud, or the like is offered purely as commentary. Because the views and opinions expressed on A Little Bit Culty do not necessarily reflect on official policy or position of the podcast. And any content provided by our guests, bloggers, sponsors, or authors are their opinion and are not intended to malign any religion, group, club, organization, business individual, anyone, or anything. So just let these words drift into your mind without needing to focus on any of them. You are great. You are capable. You deserve to be happy. Nobody's mad at you, unless you're actually a narcissistic, culty criminal. If that's you, cut that shit out. Don't be a fuckwad. But if that's not you, again, you are great. You are capable. You deserve to be happy. A Little Bit Culty loves you. Well, first of all, let me commend you for making it through, Nip. I know I think you're worse off than me at the moment. So way to push.
I'm a trooper. And how about homeboy telling everyone in his cult to watch The Vow?
Huh? I don't know what to make of that.
Yeah, dude. Well, wait till this comes out. He's going to be like, those two clowns from The Vow are doing a podcast on me.
And I think he's going to like that. If he's a narcissist, he'll like it.
Nah, hey, he's Jeff. Not gonna like it.
What's up? What's up, boss?
Stop. Yeah, but he's still Keith's luck.
Fucking around
too.
With people's lives. You know what chaps my ass? Is it like total losers are telling people how to live better lives? That chaps my ass.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
That's
go ahead.
That wasn't an opinion to me.
What's your chaps?
I don't have one, but I do have a word salad that I took from our new friend here.
Oh, this is a Jeff original?
Yeah.
Let's hear it. Word salad.
Our universe grants every soul a twin, a reflection of themselves, the kindred spirit. And no matter where they are or how far away they are from each other, even if they are in different dimensions, they will always find one another. This is destiny. This is love.
Hmm.
Is that bullshit or just word salad?
I mean,
or is that kind of the same thing?
I could follow it, unlike most of your word salads.
Yeah,
but I just don't buy it.
Right, right. So I think really good word salad is like you're confused by it. You can kind of follow it, but you can't. But you're left thinking enough, right? Like you don't really close the loop on the thought.
Yeah. And also to wrap up like the Valentine's concept, just that there's so many groups taking advantage of this, you know, that people don't want to be alone, you know, and they're looking for love.
Again, people get indoctrinated on YouTube videos. That's the crazy shit.
Yeah.
People can just sit in their homes and get doctored in YouTube videos.
Well, somebody asked us recently, like because this is the golden age of cult awareness, like are more cults falling apart? In many ways, a lot of people are leaving cults and waking up from cults, partly because of things like The Vow and all the documentaries that are out there and podcasts. But in COVID, and I got this from Yanya Lalich, a lot of people are joining because of YouTube videos and they're alone and what else are they going to do? And they're looking for community. So they're joining online groups.
Yeah.
So I don't have the numbers.
That's the new cult, the online group.
Well, I hope you feel better.
There's an episode. Thank you.
And even though it's 2 weeks away, I'm thanking you in advance for the flowers and the chocolate.
Chocolate?
The lingerie. Chocolate?
There's plenty of chocolate in our fridge.
I don't need any more chocolate. And I definitely don't need lingerie. I mean, what is the point of that?
This has been quite a journey. And we're a year. We're almost a year. It's February 4th right now. February 6th is when we did our first podcast.
It has been a year. That's right.
And under a year, a million downloads.
A million downloads. Doesn't that feel so good?
1 million downloads.
And also, isn't that kind of like, don't you feel vindicated because only 17,000 people went through Nexium? Like, not that it's a race or a competition, but if it were.
Yeah, I guess so. It's an inductive process there.
And also, you know, we talked about this on somebody else's podcast this week, Nip. In terms of our relationship, and people are always asking, like, how are we doing? But, like, we always had people in our ear, our coaches, the higher ranks, in our little, what should have been our private bubble, and it wasn't.
Yeah, right.
And so now that we're out and we have found, like, a proper therapist who isn't trying to sabotage our relationship, it's, like, really wonderful getting to know you. And I love you as my co-host and as my husband and the father of my children. So, happy day of love.
Allegedly.
Allegedly the father of my children.
They're definitely mine.
Yeah,
I love you too. Happy Valentine's Day.
See you next time. Sinking down to the depths of the ocean. I'm hanging on to the weight of my love. If I let go of it all, I could leave. But I know.
Let's keep the conversation going. We'll be back soon with more episodes of A Little Bit Culty with more experts and survivors. And sometimes experts who are survivors, as well as some familiar faces from The Vow from HBO. If you've got suggestions or questions on upcoming topics, find us on Instagram at A Little Bit Culty.
And for more background on what brought me here, my memoir, Scarred, The True Story of How I Escaped Nexium, the Cult That Bound My Life, is available on Amazon, Audible, and where most books are sold.
If you'd like to help us spread the word about A Little Bit Culty podcast, please give us a 5-star review and tell your friends to subscribe.
Seriously, like, take out their phone and tell them to press subscribe. It takes a second. We're also available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and every major listening app. And if you're listening on a smartphone, tap or swipe over the cover art of this podcast to find show notes and helpful resources.
You might also find some offers from our sponsors there. And when you support our sponsors, you help us keep this podcast going. Just don't be a little bit culty about it.
A Little Bit Culty is executive produced by me, your co-host, Sarah Edmondson, and Anthony Nippy Ames.
That's me.
Associate producer is Jess Tardy. Produced, edited, mixed, and mastered by Citizens of Sound. Our amazing theme song, Cultivated, is by John Bryant and co-written by Nigel Asselin. I'm Sarah Edmondson, and thanks for listening to A Little Bit Culty.